bit of a banger. That is Hold by Jay Pastel. Sounds like NPR or some shit. That was Hold by Jay Pastel. Coming to you live. Somewhere in England. Horrible atrocities were committed earlier this evening. But everything's okay. It was always interesting. Like, as a kid, I remember waking up and my mom would always have the, like, NPR or something playing when I would wake up in the morning and go into the kitchen. And it would be like, 42 dead this evening, last evening, whenever it was, at some point in time. Lots of people died. And now here's Tom with the weather. It was always kind of like, wow, like, yeah, you're saying it in a relaxing voice, but man, what a ridiculous way to start the day. And that's just like public broadcasting, you know, like, what, why is it that news is always so negative? Like, why is that how we start the day and continue the day? Like, I've been doing this thing recently where, like, I wake up in the morning, and as soon as I get up and go to the bathroom, before I do anything else, I look at myself in the mirror and I start saying things that I think that I need to hear. It sounds super silly, and it feels silly at first. It felt actually uncomfortable at first to look at myself in the mirror and say, I love you. But if you kind of break that down, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, that's worth looking into. If it feels uncomfortable to tell yourself that you love yourself, that's worth investigating. And after a little while, like, it just totally, you know, you get used to it. And then it's like, I can, you know, you go as long as you want, say whatever you want. Sometimes I'll use dreams to, like, if I've been writing my dreams down a lot, because it's your subconscious communicating with you. I mean, it's just your subconscious is just doing stuff, but it's showing you what's going on your deepest level. And if you're having especially, like, bad dreams, you know, that's a pretty helpful conveying of information to your conscious mind when you wake up. Like, I had, like, my nightmare, I don't really have, like, nightmares anymore, like, or I don't know if I really ever did. My nightmares, it's all relative, but my nightmares consist of people just being, like, a little bit annoyed with me. Like, they're upset with me and I don't know why. That's my nightmare. Which is, I'm grateful that it's not, you know, murder or whatever, but it is funny to, like, I had a dream the other night. This show that I watch called Kill Tony, the host is Tony Hinchcliffe. He's one of my favorite comedians. And I was riding in a taxi with him, and we were going to presumably do shows or something. And we got to the Airbnb. We were driving through Hollywood, and we had an Airbnb. And I had booked it, and we got there, and then we were going to check in, and I was the one who was supposed to check in, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. We, like, went up to the rooftop pool, and I was like, all right, Tony, just go over there. I'll figure this out. And I was sitting next to the pool, and stuff kept falling out of my bag, and it was, like, some of my stuff, some of Tony's stuff. And I remember looking over at him across the pool, and he just looked, like, annoyed. and then the dream ended, and it was so funny to wake up from that dream feeling, like, distraught. Like, my brain is focusing on the fact that this person who I admire is annoyed with me, rather than the fact that we're, like, apparently touring together. whoa, huge part of that dream that wasn't focused on by my subconscious. It was just scanning for, you know, here's a way that this person who, you know, me touring with Tony would be like a dream come true. And my subconscious won't let me focus on that. It's just focusing on him being annoyed with me. How somehow I'm fucking this up. I'm fucking up this situation so much so to the point where I can't even realize how amazing it is. And also, like, it's funny to see your subconscious projecting, because on some level, my subconscious also believes that this is possible. This is what it is going on. When I, the conscious thinker, am no longer here, wherever we go, when we sleep, whatever happens there, my subconscious, which is apparently responsible for like 90% of our operating systems, I don't know where I got that number, but from somewhere. That's my subconscious believes that I'm touring with Tony Hinchcliffe, which is fucking amazing. And it's also more concerned with the negative aspects of that. Like, it's not, it hasn't fully adjusted yet to the point where, hey, if you're a touring comedian, you're probably not having to book your own Airbnb. It's probably taken care of. We're probably not staying at an Airbnb. Maybe we are, but we're probably staying at some sick ass hotel or sick Airbnb. There's probably people in charge of this. And it's just, it's funny to, so the reason I'm saying all of this is because that dream, when I woke up from that, I was feeling these feelings associated with it. And also, I'd seen this video the other day about how when you have a nightmare, it's actually a good thing because your subconscious is processing things. Like when you're, even though we're not consciously thinking about it, we're having the feelings in our body associated with what's happening in our dreams. So like there was some processing that was being done in my body there of the annoyance, people being upset with me, not being able to do basic tasks or whatever the fear is. And so it can be a really good thing if you wake up and you're like, ah, fuck, panic. Cause it means you're allowing those emotions. And a lot of those emotions we don't allow in a sober or not sober, in a wake. In an awake state. So maybe our subconscious is also helping us sort of mine to the depths of our suppressed emotion. Who knows? But just that reframe alone to, oh, this is a good thing that I just had this dream, is it immediately changes your experience. And you can feel gratitude for the intense, quote unquote, negative emotion that you're feeling, because you know it was in there and it's coming out. Thank you, subconscious. So then taking what you just, the experience that you had in your dreams, and integrating it into your waking reality. Like what I do is when I get to the mirror, I take the dream experience and use that to create, to come up with what I'm going to say to myself. So in the context of this dream, it was like, no matter what I do, I'm enough. No matter what I say, no matter how many times I fuck up a booking of an Airbnb, I am loved. I am always enough as I am. And I allow myself to make mistakes, knowing that no amount of mistakes takes away from who I am, from my being. Maybe I needed to fuck up that Airbnb booking because, well, you know what? You don't even have to figure out it's fun to figure out hypothetical positive reasons why things happened that you can't see yet, but you don't even have to bring in the thoughts about it. You can just know. And I think that knowing comes from the experiences. It's like the stuff that we've talked about on this podcast. You know, I've had too many examples now. I mean, not too many, just so many examples of brilliant, unfathomable, unexplainable cosmic connections that are blatant evidence of more than I can understand. Lovingly, brilliantly, amazing stuff going on that I don't even need to know why me fucking up the booking of the Airbnb in my dream was actually a good thing to know that it is. I know that it is. And yeah, so then sort of getting into the space where it feels like I'm creating a more open line of communication between my subconscious and conscious mind so that there isn't this gap. And I just got a text and realized that was linked into the, it's fine. Everything's fine. The text said, it was from Galen. She said, bomb threat at CAA. Whoa. Holy cow. Bomb threats, dude. Jeez Louise. Can you believe people used to do bomb threats at like elementary? No, wait. People used to do bomb threats in high school. I mean, maybe people did bomb threats in elementary school. Maybe now people do that. But like it used to be a bomb threat. Now it's just like, I actually have a gun on campus. Fuck. People used to call, like they would go to a payphone booth and call the school from the payphone booth and be like, hey, I'm going to bomb the school if you don't cancel class right now. I am not going to math today. Fuck you. I will blow this school up if you don't cancel geometry today. I've had enough. Dude, what has to be going on in your life that you call a bomb threat into it? I like to think that people were just doing it because they were just like, fucking, wouldn't it be fun to not go to school today? Not like just because they're having a tough time. But obviously, there's a spectrum of motivations for bomb threats. Holy cow. That's nuts. In sixth grade, there was, we had report cards. So it would be like every couple of months, your teacher would send out a report card. I guess it would be all of your teachers. And you would have to bring it home to your parents and they would have to sign off on it. Basically acknowledge that they saw what you've been doing. And we had a teacher who was allergic to strawberries, and she gave a student a report card that was really bad. And the student, I guess at some point when the teacher was out of the room, took strawberry lip gloss and put it on the rim of the teacher's glass. And the teacher drank from it and like got hospitalized. Apparently to avoid having to share the report card or something. I don't know. This is the logic of a 10-year-old. But dude, oh man, there's so much going on in that sequence. Like that, I mean, and if you expand it out, that kid was probably, you know, she might have been being abused. And it's like, it's funny how quickly it's like, oh, this is a hilariously ridiculous sequence. And then, whoa, holy cow, this could actually have been. If you sort of try to explain the behavior a little bit, she might have been avoiding her own stuff. I mean, of course she was. Even just judgments from parents. It doesn't have to be physical abuse. It could be emotional. She didn't want to be seen as a failure or whatever. Or maybe she was just sick of that teacher's shit. But yeah, dude, like that, when you're that age, and I guess when you're every age, that's your world. That's what you know about reality. It's like we're in a school with like a few hundred kids, and that's like the whole world. And yeah, you don't want your parents to know if you haven't been doing good in school. But just the vengeance to do that. So crazy, dude. She got expelled. I mean, obviously, you can't just, it would be tough to just go back to the classroom. Yeah, hey, sorry about that. Anyway, wow, huge tangent from that bomb threat text. Oh yeah, and then like people would ice the bus barn when it was gonna be a snow day. They would like come and like if it was gonna snow, they would like take water, like buckets of water, and like dump it on the ground where the school buses were so that the drivers couldn't get out because they didn't want to go to school. Wow, people fucking hated school. You know how much you have to hate school to threaten to blow up the whole school? Damn. That's deep. The bus barn thing seemed a lot more fun. Hopefully nobody, you know, not threatened to blow up the buses. Oh, big tangent. What were we talking about? Okay, pre-bombs. Oh, yes. Talking to the self, bridging the conscious and the subconscious or unconscious. Yeah, I mean, if the subconscious mind runs 90% of the operating system, we got to get in contact with that. Because that's, we think we have control. We think we have control over things by thinking through everything, but we have just no idea about anything. It's basically what's going on with our minds. Like we think we're thinking our way out of things, but like, dude, the operating system is so much deeper than your surface level thought. And so that's, if you first thing in the morning, get to your mirror and communicate, like I've read, or it's amazing how often I say that I've read things now that I just saw on TikTok. I don't read anymore. I mean, I read the captions on the videos, but dude, like, I couldn't tell you the last time I read an article. But like, I just out of habit, yeah, I read this thing. No, I watched a TikTok bot from an unverified source fully. That just had nice music and I felt moved by it. But also, who gives a fuck? What are these articles from, like, the whatever, Huffington Post or fucking BuzzFeed, dude? Like, why do I consider that to be more legitimate? Just because it's on a website that, like, has a billion ads on it? TikTok is my most reliable news source, I will admit it. So anyway, I watched a TikTok of somebody talking about how the, like, 5 minutes before you fall asleep and the 5 minutes after you wake up are the two most open lines of communication between your subconscious and conscious mind. So if you can get into the mirror, I mean, I don't think you would have to do this in a mirror, but there's something about looking into your eyes that, it, I don't know, it seems to work for me. But if you can, in that time period, cultivate that connection, that line of communication, and convey messages to your subconscious that will alleviate the stress of the dreams that you're in the dreams that you're having, you're changing the operating system. Because imagine if I wake up from that dream and I go into the mirror and basically, I don't know if convince is the right word, but it's more like remind. You remind yourself that everything is okay. No matter how many Airbnbs you fail to book quickly or check into quickly, everything's okay. You're sitting on a rooftop pool with Tony Hinchcliffe, dude. Chill. Chill out. So if you can convey that message, convey the messages that you want to have be your operating system, then you can change it. And, you know, meditation is so great for this. There's so many things. But just recently, I've been experimenting with this. And even if I don't have a dream that, you know, dictates what I say in the mirror, just looking at myself in the mirror and saying, I love you and I am loved and I'm always enough, these deep core messages that it feels amazing. It's an amazing start to the day. And just not going on the phone, it's huge. Then I'll go drink a glass of water and like talk to the water. It's funny to be saying these things that, like, you know, a few years ago I would have been like, oh dude, what a fucking weird what a weird morning routine you have. I feel like my younger self would have been so judgmental. And yet, not even really though. I don't actually think that. I've been doing that a lot more. Like, if I say something and then I actually think that I might not agree with it, I'll just really totally be down to disagree with what I just said. I don't think that my younger self would have been judgmental. I think that my younger self, in a setting where people would be making fun of somebody for doing a morning routine like that, my younger self probably would have joined in out of fear of ostracization. I don't know if that's a word. Out of the fear of being judged. You know, just fitting in with the group type thing. I think my younger self actually, in a one-on-one conversation, would certainly not have been like, what the fuck? Would have been so much more interested. I think I'm actually projecting what I would expect a societal response to be onto my younger self, which is just so not fair. So, sorry, younger self. Absolutely. No way. Anyway. Oh, yeah. I talk to water. My friend Emily, who does Qigong, she got me this book on water. And they did all these experiments where, and this works for plants too, and pretty much everything, I imagine, because we're all vibrating. It's all vibration. But if you talk positively to water, the water molecules change into, they put all these molecules under telescopes and watched it, them morph into beautiful, like snowflakey, intricate designs. And then when you talk shitty to the water molecules, they, you know, look shitty. And the same thing with plants. If you say fuck you to a plant over and over again, it will die. And if you say I love you to a plant over and over again, it will blossom. It will, and so think about that for yourself. What's going to happen if you wake up every day and say you're amazing, I love you? And what's going to happen if you say you suck, I hate you? It's probably more or less what your experience will be. And it's like the more I learn about quantum physics and just vibration and, like, you know, these accepted science that for some reason is just not really talked about that much and yet is the entire foundation of our reality is vibration. The more it's like this stuff that may be judged by society, or what does that even mean? Just a large group of people? There's so many people, hopefully you, listening, watching, that are open to this kind of stuff. And the thing is it's like you don't need anyone else to be open to what it is that we're talking about here for it to be what's happening. This is what's real. It's science. Everything's moving. So, and wow, what a relief to have to be able to give up the need to convince people that this stuff is real. You can just do it. Just have the experience for yourself. Start having the experiences that you want to have because you prefer to. Not because anyone will think a certain way or not think a certain way about you for doing it. And yet there was part of me that felt a bit silly saying this stuff out loud. Which is another reason why I'm so glad that this podcast is a thing, because that was like the whole goal of it, was to just not filter. See what happens. See what happens when you just be authentic. So, yeah, I'll talk to the water, and I think it makes the water taste better. And maybe the water, I mean, we know that the molecules are changing because of the vibrational shift. But I think it's also, it's not but, and I think also it's that we're changing our own vibration by lovingly talking to ourselves and our surroundings. I mean, we're talking to the internal lovingly and the external lovingly. So what's that doing for our vibration? What the, our whole experience is love. If we're exuding love and in externally and internally, that's what's happening. And it sets the tone for the entire day. You know, versus just hopping on your phone and you're just at the mercy of whatever you happen to see. You know, a notification from fucking NPR. This many people died today. Fuck. Bummer. Good morning. Jeez. Shit. It's probably why people are freaking calling in bomb threats, is because they're like, oh shit, we're all going to die anyway. Might as well just knock. I don't want to go to school. I woke up this morning and heard on CNN or Fox or any of it, just horrible, horrible things happening. Who knows? But it's been so nice. I've been doing it for a while now. I don't know how long. But, I totally forgot to say this. My plan was to say this at the beginning of the podcast, and I totally forgot. But it's fitting now. So I can't remember if I said this on another episode, but I got a message from Airbnb. This is the wallet from the episode Weddings and Wallets. After talking with Airbnb support for a while, eventually we were just like, you know what? We're still in Mexico, and we were like, yeah, fuck it. It's like there's nothing really that important in the wallet. It's just it's an inconvenience, but it's not a big deal. There was like $80 in the wallet. It's fine. So we just stopped responding. They were still like, because they were taking it very seriously. They were like, this is a breaking and entering type situation. But we were just like, we don't want to deal with this. It's okay. Like, what are we going to find the guy? There's no way. So we just stopped responding. And then like the next day, Airbnb sent a message saying, hello, Sebastian. Thanks for providing the information and for your patience, too. Given the circumstances, we've issued a partial refund for this reservation for $513.84 USD. Refunds are sent right away on our side, but your banker credit card, yada, yada, yada. Dude, they gave us $500 for having this wallet stolen. And the wallet had $80. My wallet got stolen, and I made $420. Like, that's the type of stuff that happens when, and it wasn't even surprising, because when you're in a more open, positive vibration, you just know, like what we were talking about, you just know that this is good. Even if you can't see why yet, it is. And so as soon as we released, you know, the need to get the wallet back or, you know, we weren't even really trying to get a refund. It was just like, yeah, like I'd rather just enjoy our time on the beach here and not spend our time on the phone with Airbnb support. And so we let it go, and then it's just like, here, have a ton of money. Ah, dude, that's like the price of the flight. It was amazing. And yeah, dude, it was so good. And then I got an email from the dude who had been the manager at the Airbnb. Ah, interesting. An Airbnb thing. Well, oh, dude, I didn't even think about that. Oh, perfect. Dude, like, that's what happened. Maybe in my dream, I'm not able to book the Airbnb. I can't check into the Airbnb with Tony because there's a problem with Airbnb. And they're about to upgrade us to some penthouse suite that if I didn't have the problem checking in, if I didn't have that momentary lapse, or not even a lapse, it's just a universally brilliant delay that from my 3D perspective of, you know, being a human, I can't see yet why this is amazing, but it is. Maybe that's why the dream was delayed, or I was delayed in the dream. Not obviously, could literally be, but I think I was delayed in the dream to have all these other, you know, to work on it, work on those fears and stuff. But dude, this is literally Airbnb. I forgot, dude. Oh, it's so perfect though. Look, it's happening. It's happening right now as we speak about it. That's what this is. Like my whole plan, I didn't really have that much of a plan for this episode today, but I really wanted to do one. And I knew that I wanted to just talk about the wallet. So I was like, I'll talk about the wallet and then the rest will unfold. But fucking here we are. And yeah, dude, $500. Got an email from the guy who ran the Airbnb, who was super helpful. He talked to us when we were talking to the cops about the wallet and translated for us. And he found the wallet. Like, come on. He said they just found it in the sand. And, you know, I don't know. He told me that there was no cash in the wallet. Little bit fishy, but all the cards were in it. Like, amazing. Keep the cash. Dude, I made $500 because of this. Thank you. So we don't even know, like, what maybe the person just took it from the room, took the cash out, and then threw it on the ground. Perfectly reasonable, I guess. But again, dude, like, had totally given up on the wallet. Don't need it. It's fine. Made $500. And then still the wallet shows up. And it was a nice wallet. Like, I actually love the wallet. And, like, it's got my passport, not my passport, but my passport card in it. So, like, helpful to have that. But, like, just such a perfect example of, you know, just let go, dude. Better things are coming than you can imagine. And it's just, it's all here. And what a relief to let it go. I mean, that whole trip could have been fucking ruined. Think of how many people I could have just talked to at the wedding and just been bitching about my wallet being stolen the whole time and how horrifying it was and all these things. And instead it, like, was basic. Like, I remember Galen and I actually being like, we don't even really want to talk about this because it's just, it doesn't feel good. It feels good to talk about it in this way where it's like, everything's great. It was so great that I lost my wallet. I lost my wallet and I made money and got the wallet back. But from the perspective of, oh man, fucking God, they stole my shit. You know, all this tension. It's so the opposite of what you want. Well, not always. Lots of people, and myself included, you get addicted to the tension. Maybe it's not addiction to tension. Maybe it's just not realizing that you have other options. Like, you get your wallet stolen. There's no, like, universal rule book on how you have to respond to that. And yet, if you were to tell that to, like, so many people, most people would be like, God, that's horrible. Fuck. You know? And if you believe it to be horrible, I mean, I think you can make the argument that if that was the vibration that we were in, this is fucking awful. I'm so mad. We probably don't get this refund. And we probably don't get the wallet back. I feel like, because when the dude emailed me, he was like, I was so sort of just like, this doesn't actually really make sense. Like, for him to, who knows who took it, like, whether it was him or somebody else, like, it would be so much easier for him. Like, we've left already, we've let it go, it's not a big deal. It would be so much easier to just not send it back. But we have these really lovely interactions with the guy, and I remember them being so apologetic for the stolen wallet, and we were like, it's all good, dude. Like, we were totally not worried about it. And that made it, I think that, you know, it's like talking to the water. It's like talking to yourself. It's what you give out is what you get back. But it's not just limited, like, you know, to like, oh, I gave $10 and I get $10 back. It's like I was just having fun. Like, I was just feeling good. And then all of this stuff happened. And like, dude, what a fun experience that just keeps unfolding. I mean, dude, what, like, you start to see, like, you know, if we get to the point where we're limitless in our operating system, subconscious and conscious, if we don't apply limitations to ourselves and our mind, why, we're limitless. Why would we not be? We're a part of the universe. So this part of the universe right here believes itself to be infinite. And we know the universe is infinite, so why would we not believe that we are as a part of it? But that infinite belief in yourself and universe and everyone, everything, whatever, love, just positive vibration. I mean, it's just incredible watching everything unfold seemingly effortlessly. Like, we didn't have to do, all we had to do was, you know, what felt right in the moment, which was like, okay, we're nervous that somebody broke into our apartment, but like, we're okay. They didn't harm us. We're like I said in the other episode, like, I'm glad that I didn't wake up while they were there. That could have been terrible. And, you know, this way of being is available always. And it feels like as you shift more and more into it, more and more amazing things happen. And you slip out too. Sometimes you slip out. I cried yesterday because I was overthinking about a sequence of texts I was sending to my friend that made no sense from a higher perspective, because this person loves me and always will. But from a reversion into overthinking, somehow I'm fucking this up. Somehow they're going to be mad at me. You know, it's just like the dream thing. Are you upset with me? And then I meditated and like allowed myself to go more into those feelings. And that's when I cried. And then I felt way better, because that's basically what the sequence is. You feel hard feelings. Hard isn't even the right word. You just feel feelings, and some of them make you cry. And if you allow the feelings, everything flows naturally, and you're not tensing and storing the emotion, and it's just, it's all flowing. And yeah, it feels so good. So I hope you are, well, let me think. Well, regardless, I hope you're doing so good, flowing through existence. And yeah, thank you so much for listening and watching. It means a lot that you could watch and listen to anything and you're here. That's so cool. And I'm grateful for you. And let's see where we're at. 39 minutes. Wow. All right, dude. There's no time frame on anything. What the fuck is even time? Like, you don't have to hit a certain number. You don't have to do anything. Just do what feels right. And everything else fucking falls into place, it seems. Oh, fantastic, dude. Yes. All right. See you in the next one. Peace. Oh. Such a good song.